Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad you're here with us. And our First Friday Arts segment is now officially open, open to take your calls about arts events coming to your town in the coming weeks. We have a featured guest standing by. Valerie Rochelle of the Oregon Cabaret Theater is here to talk about big happenings in OCT's 30th season. But we'll take as many calls as time allows about events on the stage, on the walls, or on point. We're not picky. 800-838-3760 is the phone number around the region. 800-838-3760 to call in with arts events from your town. Any events, all events, more than welcome. Let's start with Livia from the Camelot Theater in Talent. Always first in line, calls in about 8:01, and I finally got her button pushed. There we go. Livia, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Yes, I guess I did call right at 8 o'clock and wait. But it's worth the wait. We are opening tonight a gem of a musical, only two people, and then violin, cello, and keyboard. It's called The Last 5 Years, and it's loosely based on the marriage of Jason Robert Brown, the composer who has won Tonys for Parade and Bridges of Madison County. And it's a very interesting story in that it talks about this five-year relationship, but Kathy, the struggling actress, tells it to us in song from the end of the relationship to the beginning. And the husband, who is a not-so-struggling writer, Jamie, tells it from the beginning to the end. And the only time they share the stage is just before intermission at the engagement. And then we did a whole wedding video to show their wedding. And the audiences have just been loving it the last two nights. It's funny. It's poignant. And I have to say, at the end of Act One, everybody goes, ah, and at the end of the show, they go, oh. So it's there's something there for everyone, and we have two wonderful performers, Amanda Anderson, who I know Valerie Rochelle knows because Mandy went through PCPA, also happens to be my daughter, but that's not important, and Nathan Monks, who has done so many roles with us. We joked backstage in Lion and Winter, he was my son. In Sunset Boulevard, he was my boyfriend, and I guess now he's my son-in-law. So these two people carry the show beautifully, and the three musicians are on stage through the whole thing. It's really a wonderful, wonderful show. Very small, very different from Jesus Christ Superstar or Oklahoma, which is coming up.
Wow, not nearly as many singers and dancers on the stage at one time.
Not in this show. That's why we have room for the orchestra.
So explain the concept again. So they're actually working in time in different directions.
Yes, exactly. So the very first song from Jamie is about the from Kathy, sorry, is about the end of the relationship, and the next song you hear is from Jamie back at the beginning of the relationship 5 years earlier. And what we have kind of done is incorporated stills of them in the costumes that would have been that time period, and we show that for just a few seconds to give the audience, some context for what's going on. And you know they're going to break up, but you're rooting for them the entire time because these are such they're such lovely people, and they're so sweet, and they're so innocent.
The last 5 years at the Camelot Theater, playing till when?
Through October 4th, and opening night is tonight, and then Pay What You Can is next Wednesday night, September 9th, and then we play Thursday through Saturday at 8 and Sundays at 2.
And then Oklahoma follows that, you said?
Well, we have Manchurian Candidate and then Oklahoma. Okay. We want to get everybody ready for the election year, so we thought we'd do a play about intrigue, murder, and treason.
And presidential campaigns, all kinds of
yes,
fun stuff.
Exactly. Right. But right now, we're in a beautiful, romantic musical.
All right. That is The Last 5 Years at the Camelot Theater in Talent. Livia, thanks so much for joining us. Always good to talk to you on our First Friday Arts segment. Anybody else can join our First Friday Arts segment. Let's hear about arts events in your town. 800-838-3760 is the phone number to call. 800-838-3760. One email here from Trinidad Art Gallery points out that Trinidad is holding Trinidad Art Night tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. The Trinidad Art Gallery will be featuring two of its member artists with new works in functional porcelain, mosaics, and fused glass jewelry. The gallery is a local artist cooperative with 25 members in all media. The beautiful seaside town of Trinidad features music, art, wine tasting, fire dancing, and much more. See you tonight, say the folks at Trinidad Art Gallery. Thanks for that. Let's go to Kristen at the Rogue Valley Symphony. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on our First Friday Arts segment.
Good morning. Thank
Hi.
You. We have to wait until the end of the month for this event, but it's worth the wait. The Rogue Valley Symphony opens its 2015-2016 season on the weekend of September 25th through the 27th in Ashland, Medford, and Grants Pass. And conductor Martin Mycoot will lead the orchestra in Carl Nielsen's Symphony No. 4, which was named the Inextinguishable by the Danish composer to express the spirit of life, the elemental will to live, That Which Is Inextinguishable. The concert will also feature Ukrainian piano soloist Stanislav Christenko, who was the winner of the 2013 Cleveland Piano Competition. And Christenko will be performing Rachmaninoff's Mighty Piano Concerto No. 2, which is perhaps his most enduringly popular composition.
And just for an example, I want to get to that. We actually pulled out a clip of the Rachmaninoff because we knew you'd be coming. So let's hear a little bit of it. People will recognize this instantly. That's certainly one of the recognizable parts of the Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto. That's the Allegro Third Movement. That's by Leon Bates with the Czech Symphony, National Symphony. Known as a popular song as Full Moon and Empty Arms, and I think a couple of other popular songs have been born out of the Rock, too. And so this is just one of the pieces you're playing on that weekend in late September?
Exactly. This piano concerto, along with Nielsen Symphony No. 4, and we open the season with another very popular piece, an overture by Glinka, to the opera Ruslan and Ludmilla.
All right, so that's a full schedule. This is September 25th through 27th, and are you playing across the Rogue Valley, a couple different locations?
Yes, we are on the 25th in Ashland at the SOU Music Recital Hall, on the 26th in Medford at the Criterion Theater, and on the 27th in Grants Pass at the Performing Arts Center. And if people want tickets, we have recently moved our offices, so our new telephone number for the box office is 541-708-6400.
708-6400 for the Rogues Valley Symphony?
Yes.
All right, also online at RV Symphony. Thank you so much, Glinda. Good to talk to you. Kristen, rather.
Thank you.
Let us take another call here. We have Barry. Looks like, is this necessarily an arts event, Barry, the Hike the Pipe event?
Yeah, there's an event on Saturday, Jeffrey, at the Upper Rogue Regional Park at 1 p.m. There will be complimentary food, music, and speakers. And the event is sponsored by Rogue Climate and celebrating the Hike the Pike, which is the pipeline, the LNG pipeline that will be going from southeast of Klamath Falls, Malin, to Coos Bay, where it will be exported to China and Asia. And the hikers will be there. They're coming down by raft from Elk Park above Shady Cove, and then there will be some speakers that will talk to people about what the pipeline is about and what the Hike the Pipe is about.
All right, so up the Upper Rogue Regional Park, what time?
1 p.m. on Saturday the 5th, Saturday.
And what is the entertainment?
I'm not sure. I know there's some local people that are going to provide some entertainment. It'd be musical entertainment.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for calling in, Barry. That's the Hike the Pipe rally at the Upper Rogue Regional Park, 1 o'clock on Saturday. This is our first Friday art segment on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join in with your arts events in your community. 800-838-3760 is the phone number to call. 800-838-3760. Our featured guest this week is not bearing a musical instrument, but boy, they put on a lot of music at the place where she works. Valerie Bichelle is the artistic director in her first season at the Oregon Cabaret Theater in Ashland. It is the 30th season for OCT. We're just really glad to have you here, Valerie.
Oh, thanks for having me this morning.
Tell us a bit about, there's quite a bit of history here. I mean, it's hard to believe it's actually been, well, it's been 29 years since it started, so this is the 30th season of the Oregon Cabaret. Give us a bit of history there.
Sure. Back in 1984, I guess, is when Craig Hudson and Jim Giancarlo, well, Craig Hudson bought the Old Pink Church and started the renovations, and in 1986, they did their first show in the Old Pink Church, Dames of Sea, and directed by Paul Barnes. And so, a group of them got together and kind of like a Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney movie to me. And
let's put on a show.
In a romantic way, yes. Yeah. And made a theater. And it's been going strong ever since. And what I love so much about it is that the unique space, that theater is just so inviting to walk into and up close and personal, I guess, in the performance sense with the audience.
It's a very intimate space. You've got people seated on essentially, I don't know, three or five different levels, including two levels on the balcony. So everybody has a good view of the stage, but really in close to it as well. That also, I would think, has some some part to play in the kinds of things you can stage there, because it's intimate up on the stage as well, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. Although we do have quite a bit of head clearance, which is nice.
Your space is all vertical. Yes,
vertical. We don't have a lot of space width-wise. Depth-wise, we're fine. So, yes, putting on dance musicals is a little bit of a challenge, but we seem to be able to take that challenge on this summer, at least.
Well, with Cabaret is what you did this summer, which, would you, you know, is every show going to have a spiral staircase simply because of the space you have on
that
stage?
Yeah, possibly, yes. No. no, I mean, we will be using one in Christmas Carol, but so, Cabaret was something that I thought, and my husband and Craig Hudson as well, encouraged us to, when we were picking our new season, to actually dive in and take a risk and do it. It was scary for us because it is such a big production on such a small stage, but I had done the production twice before, so this was my third go around directing and choreographing it, so I kind of had an idea of what I thought it should be in an intimate space.
Which, you know, it's a show that can really kind of rock you back on your heels. I mean, yeah, there's fun, there's sexiness, there's all that, but it's also in a backdrop of the rise of the Nazis in Germany in the 30s. And so it gets pretty heavy at times, which can be fairly intense in a small space. So did you have to, like, tinker with the scale a little bit as you worked on Cabaret?
You know, this is actually the most, I guess, poignant production I feel I've done because of the, I guess, intimacy of the audience there. All the others I've done on a gigantic, you know, proscenium stage where they're, you know, there's an orchestra pit in between them and the audience and they can't even reach them, which actually I think lessens the power of the piece. So I think when they brought it back to Studio 54 on Broadway, they had the right idea of making the audience try to at least be closer to them and not so far away.
It really is a cabaret kind of show, which I know I went to one of your night shows over the summer, too, where the mention was made of the fact that here you're playing Cabaret at the Oregon Cabarets. got to repeat the word quite a bit.
Yes, we did. We did a late night performance as a kind of fun thing so that the performers got to do something a little lighter and have a little fun.
Then is a fairly heavy show by Oregon Cabaret Theater standards then, isn't it?
It is, yes. Not that they haven't done things that are poignant before, they have, but it is kind of the riskiest, I guess, sexiest and most powerful piece, I think, that has been there for a while.
And what was the payoff? Did it work out about as you'd hoped?
We got a lot of really great buzz. We got a lot of word on the street, and we also got a lot of ticket sales. So that, I guess, that shows we sold over 9,500 tickets, which for a space that only has 136 seats a night is a good thing. So we did very well. We were very proud of the work and of the cast that we brought together and the designing and just the whole thing kind of fell together to be this kind of magical thing.
Valerie Richelle is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the artistic director at the Oregon Cabaret Theater in Ashland. This is our first Friday arts segment. You can still join in with arts events in your town at 800-838-3760. Or if you have questions or comments for Valerie as well, 800-838-3760 is the phone number to call. So let's talk about where the actors come from. I mean, you've built yourself for a long time at Oregon Cabaret, and this predates your own involvement as artistic director as Ashland's other professional theater. So you are, in fact, a block away from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is the major, you know, 11 shows a year kind of theater. Where do you get actors from, and what are some of the things you have to do to be able to put on professional theater at that scale in this town?
Well, you know, Jim actually got a lot of his talent from New York. He would go on an audition tour every year and hit the West Coast, hit, you know, the East Coast, and he would bring in actors from out of town and also use a lot of local talent. We have a lot of local talent here, which I'm so very, you know, glad to see. So I was a casting director on the Central Coast for a long time with PCPA Theater Fest. So in that respect, I got a lot of experience becoming a casting director and finding talent and running auditions. And so I'm trying to continue what Jim started with, trying to bring in talent that we need and use the local talent that's here as well, a good mix of both.
Are the actors expensive at this level?
They are. They are not cheap. Yes. We provide housing and travel for them and as well pay them a salary, of course. And of course, our salaries are on a non-union scale. We're not under an equity contract. That's actually not quite true. We are under an equity contract for our stage manager So we are under the Dinner Theater Artist Equity union contract, but most of our actors are non-union because of the cost, you know, of a union contract. But they are expensive. It's not cheap to pull someone from their home for a couple months and bring them, you know, out to Ashland, although the incentive is wonderful. Everybody who works here is, please bring me back. It's too beautiful to not live here. So,
are the economics that much trickier? Because as you mentioned, it is dinner theater as well. I mean, you can get a full meal with this, or you can get just dessert, or you can just watch the show. I mean, but I imagine that makes the economics even somewhat more tricky than if you were just running a theater.
You know, I've been in the theater world for a long time and producing works, and the restaurant aspect is something that is new to me. And I have to say, first of all, my staff is amazing. The restaurant aspect actually, I think, makes financially, yes, it is a little bit more difficult in a way, but it also adds something to the experience. And I think the cabaret wouldn't be what it is without the food and beverage experience.
There's this old joke about dinner theater experiences, probably best portrayed in the movie Soap Dish, where Kevin Kline is doing dinner theater and people are like, can I get more bread over here? Doing stuff like that. Somehow you managed to find a way to have that not happen at the Oregon Cabaret. I'm just curious to know what some of the tricks are.
Well, actually, we don't serve during the show. We only serve before and at intermission. That's one of the things which Jim started, which I think was really a lovely thing to do, because it then allows us to concentrate on the art that's happening on the stage. The other good thing it also does is I think it actually makes the food better. It's not a requirement that you have food at our theater like most dinner theater, quote unquote, does. And so I think there's a stigma against, like you said, the noise and the forks and the, you know, it interrupting the theater. But in our theater, I believe it actually enhances the experience, because we don't serve during the show. And so there's, you know, it's quiet for you to concentrate on the play. And it also helps the integrity of the food, I believe. Our chef is an amazing chef, and we are very lucky to have him. So we have wonderful, you know, wonderful options instead of just here's your, you know, disc of chicken right on the plate, right? Yes, exactly. We have some gorgeous options to choose from that are, you know, that he puts a lot of work into.
Valerie Richelle, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. This is our First Friday Art segment. You can call to talk to Valerie or call to trump up some art segment in your own town. 800-838-3760, the phone number to call, 800-838-3760. We mentioned Jim Giancarlo's name a couple times, one of the founders and the artistic director up until this season. Sad story. I mean, I was at his memorial service. It seemed like most of Ashland was there. Really well-known guy. And so the process of the sale was already in motion when he died?
Yes. He had hired me for the Christmas show for It's a Wonderful Life in 2014. In 2013, and I was actually at PCPA working as a director there on a freelance contract when a mutual friend of ours said, hey, Jim is actually looking to retire. He wants to sell the cabaret. And I was like, well, I can't. I'm a director. I don't have any money. So we started chatting, and he figured out what was best for him, and my husband and I took a look at it and figured out what we could do and made an offer. And July 30th, I believe it was, last year, he accepted our offer. And then the morning of August 6th, he had passed away suddenly. And so we were in process, but nothing had been finalized or signed. But his lovely, lovely family, who has been nothing but ultra supportive to us, continued on with where the sale had left off and welcomed us with open arms into the cabaret.
Had you picked the season already by the time that you settled in? No.
We had not. The goal was to choose a season alongside Jim and have a nice transition with him and officially take over January 1st of this year. But of course, that didn't happen. So we picked up in 14 days from our house in Los Angeles, put it on the market, and moved here.
Wow. That really is a fast thing. The show you're putting on now, 39 Steps, just from what little I've seen of it, looks like the kind of thing that the Jim would have put on and did, in fact, with things like Bullshot Grumman.
Yes.
So 39 Steps, first of all, this is a Hitchcock's first murder mystery. So how does it translate into a cabaret show on a small stage?
Well, it's with four actors. And those four actors play over 100 and something characters. Especially, they have two actors called the clowns, and they on stage change costume in front of you, change character, you know, back and forth very quickly. For a spy action, you know, murder mystery movie, it is quite funny on stage with four actors.
We have a little clip we can play from the London production of the 39 Steps. Let's just hear a little nugget of that.
Is your name Richard Hannay?
Certainly not.
Officer and lady, clear my station. He's run from the train, sir.
After him, constable.
Yes, sir.
It's a little hard to understand, but what's going on there is that Richard Hannay, who's the main character, is escaping down the side of the train. So you got train whistles and all this stuff, but it's a very bare stage, not much going on. So it sounds like there are people and props flying through the entire thing.
Yes, there are. And things are used for multiple things, you know, trains, cars, there's a plane crash. I mean, there's a bunch of things on stage that the four actors create to make this action adventure, you know, spy movie happen.
They probably end up a little breathless by the end
of it. Oh, boy. One of the actors is a friend of ours, and he is exhausted every night after rehearsal.
I have known John Stadelman, your lead, as Richard Hannay for about 20 years now, and I have never seen him look like he looks in the publicity pictures. It's amazing what you've done to him.
I love John. He is just such a gift. I'm so excited that he's playing that role. He's going to be so wonderful in that role.
So beyond 39 Steps, what do you have coming up later on at the Oregon Cabaret?
Yeah, for the holiday show, we're actually doing a small version, an 8-person version of Christmas Carol. And my husband is a published playwright, so he's writing it, I guess, and doing a new adaptation. And it's kind of, we wanted to concentrate on Scrooge's journey and his transformation from who he was to who he becomes. So it's actually kind of it concentrates on the ghosts. So it's more of a ghost story. It's a little bit of a darker Christmas version. And I know there's a popular word for the style of show we're doing, which is now called steampunk.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of doing a dark ghost story steampunk version of Christmas Carol this year.
Wow, what kinds of fun innovations.
Still for kids, though. But
okay, still for kids.
Little,
good to know.
A little scarier.
Okay, Oregon Cabaret Theater is the place we're talking about. Valerie Richelle is the artistic director. This is our first Friday Arts segment. Valerie, thanks for joining us. We have time to take one more arts call from Roger in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange and our first Friday Arts segment.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of bring your attention to an unveiling. I'm a member of the Medford Arts Commission, and we have been working in partnership with the Cow Creek Band, Cow Creek Tribe, and the Oregon Department of Transportation to do an installation to do a pillar mural underneath Hawthorne Park.
All right, so it's the underside of the freeway viaduct?
Yes, yeah, and it's going to be underneath the, it's right there at Hawthorne Park, and it's underneath the freeway, and we will be doing the ribbon cutting and the grand opening. Let's see here, on September 18th, it'll be Friday evening at 6 p.m.
September 18th. Roger, thank you so much. Thank you for everybody who called in. Valerie Richelle, thank you for making this another great first Friday art segment on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.